With the Environment in Focus, I'm Tom Pelton. Climate change is one of the most important public policy issues facing the world. But many elected officials and even news organizations still portray global warming as a controversial and disputed scientific theory, with arguments on both sides. Here's the President of the United States.
So Obama's talking about all of this with the global warming and that. And a lot of it's a hoax. It's a hoax. I mean, it's a money-making industry, okay? It's a hoax.
But climate change is not just something a few scientists with supercomputers have predicted for the future. The geological record of the Earth's history shows that whenever carbon dioxide concentrations in the atmosphere have gone up, temperatures have also risen, often with catastrophic consequences. Rocks are not political. Rocks do not have a profit motive. So we should pay more attention to the hard record of the past when discussing the future. This is a conclusion of Peter Brannan's book, The Ends of the World: Volcanic Apocalypses, Lethal Oceans, and Our Quest to Understand Earth's Past Mass Extinctions. Here's Brannan.
Climate change has become such a politically charged issue that by talking about geology and all these crazy old animals, it was sort of a way to introduce people to the topic in a way that isn't instantly divisive.
Among the crazy old animals he discusses in his book are priapulids, known more informally by scientists as penis worms because of their shape. They were finger-sized carnivorous worms that haunted ocean floors 500 million years ago, digging burrows and shooting out to devour their blob-shaped, bacteria-eating competing species. Brannan brings these creatures up in the context of climate change deniers today, who argue that it's arrogant for humans to assume that they are powerful enough to alter the Earth and change nature, because only God could do that. Well, consider the humble penis worm, Brannan suggests.
They were what's called ecosystem engineers, so they're totally changing the way the environment worked. They were changing the chemistry of the oceans, and they changed the world, really. This is sort of the beginning of animal life. And something that modest, it's amazing that it could have such a huge impact on the planet and Earth history and life. And so when you then look at human beings and the way that we are just completely transforming the oceans and the atmosphere, and we're moving around just unimaginable amounts of Earth every year, it's not that big of a leap to think that we might be having as big or as profound of an influence on the planet and on life as these, you know, much more modest and simple creatures.
Five times in Earth's history, mass extinctions have wiped out at least 75% of life forms, Brannan explains in his book. At least four of these die-offs were triggered by dramatic swings in heat-trapping carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. Often this CO2 came from massive volcanic eruptions. But today, people are producing similar effects as volcanoes by releasing billions of tons of carbon dioxide from our coal-fired power plants and petroleum-burning combustion engines, Brannan said.
So we are the supervolcano. And that's both scary that we could actually be using the same sort of mechanisms of things, geological forces that have killed almost everything in the planet, but it's also encouraging because those were sort of just mindless geological processes, and we're a smart, adaptable species that knows what we're doing.
So we can still avert catastrophe if we just open our eyes and look at history. With the Environment in Focus, I'm Tom Pelton of the Environmental Integrity Project, author of The Chesapeake in Focus. This program is sponsored by the Abel Foundation. The views expressed are solely my own.